Chapter 11, please. We still okay, Dad? Okay? All right. Did you dance? Okay. I'm sure you did. 90 years old back there dancing. Man. I'm panting, and all it was would just jump a little bit here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You're not coming back, Lance. You rubbing off on me the bad way. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave His approval to people in days of old because of their faith. In your reading through the one-year Bible this week, in fact, today's reading, it should have been in Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to do some things in this chapter. Years ago, the captain of a large vessel set sail with his family from Liverpool. His destination was New York. One night, when everyone was asleep, a sudden squall arose. The wind came sweeping over the water, struck the vessel, and just about capsized it totally. Everything movable was sent tumbling and crashing, and the passengers became aware that they were in imminent peril. Everyone was alarmed, and many sprang from their berths and began to dress. The captain's little girl, just 8 years old, was awakened and cried with fright, "What's the matter?" When they told her about the storm, she asked, "Is father on deck?" Assured that he was, the little one dropped back under a pillow without a fear. In spite of the howling winds and crashing waves, she was soon fast asleep. Do you realize this really ought to be our attitude as we face the rough seas and stormy days of life? The Bible tells us that we are to live by faith. In verses like Matthew 11:22, Habakkuk 2:4, we are reminded that faith is to be the daily lifestyle of each and every believer. When we read Romans 14:23, we learn that anything that isn't a product that is a faith life, it is sin. In Hebrews 11:6, we see that without this quality called faith, we will never be able to please the Lord at all. We know that we're saved by faith, Ephesians 2:8-9. But just how do we go about living every day of our lives by faith? And thankfully, the Word of God does not leave us in the dark concerning the walk of faith. It sheds so much light on this extremely, extremely important topic. And tonight, as the Lord gives liberty, I just kind of want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about an anatomy of faith. I would like to tell you what faith is not as well as what it is. Then I'm going to show us what to do in our lives day by day. And I want us to look at these together and consider an anatomy of faith. Number one, the fallacies surrounding faith. Faith is not, because when we, see, let me preface a little bit here. Depending on our backgrounds, depending on what we've heard, how we've been raised, do you understand that everything we hear through filters? We hear through the filters of our experiences, our backgrounds, our education, you know, our philosophies. We hear through these filters. We kind of view life through a grid. And whatever that grid is, that's how we make the determination of what we're hearing. And everybody hears something different. Communication is incredible. How somebody can stand before other people and with a bunch of guttural sounds, you know, try to make sense. And then you wonder, I know what I try to say every time I speak, but I haven't the faintest idea what you're hearing. Because I'll have people walk out and say things like, "Oh, Chuck, that was exactly what I needed to hear tonight." "Yeah, what was? Yeah, what did you hear?" They tell me what they heard, and I didn't say anything like that. I say thank you because I want credit for it. But, you know, and when we all hear through these filters. So when we look at faith and we start talking about faith, we have just, you know, an accumulation of definitions of faith in our midst right here tonight. You know, everybody has a different understanding of what faith is depending on what you've heard and what you've experienced and what your background is. So let me just give you some things that I think, number one, some fallacies about faith. Number one, faith is not a blind leap. There are those who feel that a life lived by faith is the life of a fool. They speculate that faith is nothing more than a leap into the dark. However, faith is much more than just walking around blind waiting for providence to bump into you. Faith is your response. Faith is my response to the promises of God in our life. Do you understand that? Faith is our response to the promises of God in our lives. God says, I will lead you. Faith says, I will follow. God says, I will feed you. Faith says, I will eat. God says, I will meet your need. Faith says, it is done. See, faith is never a leap in the dark. It is always based upon the firmest of foundations, the Word of God. The person who really walks in faith never walks through life blind. He always knows what's ahead because the person that's walking in faith is simply responding to the promises of God. So it's not just a blind leap. Secondly, faith is not a blank check. The name it and claim it philosophy that permeates much of the church in our day. People have been taught that if they want something from God, then they are to pray about it, believe it, and then look for it to happen. And there are so many people who have become discouraged in their faith and disappointed with God because He didn't do it like they were told He would. Faith is not a blank check. God is not our cosmic little Santa Claus just waiting for us to place our orders and then drive away with anything and everything with desire. And that is so much of what people think that faith is. The implications of this is way off in their thinking. If this is true, then God is nothing more than a genie who has no other purpose than to grant our wishes by the thousands. May I remind you that the name it and claim it crowd have missed the mark. God is about, hear me, God is about far larger stuff and much greater things than just waiting for me to come up with a new want for my wish list. And that's what that philosophy teaches. And God's about a lot bigger stuff than that. Thirdly, faith is not a bad choice. There are those who would say that it is foolish to walk in total and utter dependence upon the Lord. These people argue that God is an unknown, that He's an unseen force with which man cannot interact and have fellowship. They call the Christians who live by faith a fool. However, the Christian who determines to truly live his life by total faith in his Heavenly Father will never, ever, ever once be disappointed with God. Nor will he struggle through life blindly. The person who walks by faith, there will be a deep, settled assurance that God is in absolute control of all situations and His will shall always be accomplished in our lives. As believers, we have a couple of choices. As believers, we can either choose to please the Lord or we can choose to please ourselves. If we are determined that we are going to please the Lord, then we are going to have to walk by faith in Him and in His Word and in His will. Are you following me? If I'm going to walk by faith and I'm going to please Him, I've got to do it His way and not demand that He do it my way. Now, those are just a few things that faith is not. Okay? Faith is not the things I've just talked about. And many Christians kind of think, maybe don't verbalize it this way, but this is, you know, how we think that of what faith is. Allow me to just take a few minutes to look at what faith is. We've seen the fallacy surrounding faith. Now let's look for a moment at the facts surrounding faith. If faith is none of these things, then exactly what is it? Faith is defined and described in verse 1. We already read it. Notice that faith makes things that are hoped for as real as the things that are, and it provides the unshakable evidence of those things that are ours as a result of our relationship to Jesus Christ. In other words, faith brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. Now, thankfully, the author of the book of Hebrews did not leave us in the dark concerning what all this sureness and certainty were to be based upon. In verse 2, the writer speaks of the elders and says that by their faith they earned a good report from God. Then he goes on to speak of their faith, and in every instance, either stated or implied, is the promise of God. Notice, number 1, verse 3. The creation account is reliable because it is based upon the Word of God. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Secondly, in verse 4, Abel offered a more pleasing sacrifice because of faith and a promise. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. In verses 5 and 6, Enoch received the first airplane ride because he had faith in the promises of God. Thank you. I'm glad that somebody got that. All right. Look at verse 5. And somebody said, oh, they were... Anyway. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. So you see, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Then in verse 7, Noah built the ark and survived the flood because his faith floated on the promise of the Lord. Look at verse 7. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. By his faith, he condemned the rest of the world and was made right in God's sight. Verses 8 through 19. Abraham left home and country, sojourned in a foreign land, offered his son as a sacrifice to God, and looked for an eternal city. His faith was based on the unshakable foundation of the Word of God. Let's read it. Verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in a tent. And so did Isaac and Jacob, to whom God gave the same promise. Abraham did this because he was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that Sarah, together with Abraham, was able to have a child, even though they were too old and Sarah was barren. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man, Abraham, who was too old to have any children. A nation with so many people that, like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these faithful ones died without receiving what God had promised them, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed the promises of God. They agreed that they were no more than foreigners or nomads here on earth. And obviously, people who talk like that are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had meant the country they came from, they would have found a way to go back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a heavenly city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Though God had promised him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Then in verses 20 through 22, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph all died in faith, looking to the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord. It was by faith, verse 20, that Isaac blessed his two sons, Jacob and Esau. He had confidence in what God was going to do in the future. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, confidently spoke of God's bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. He was so sure of it that he commanded them to carry his bones with them when they left. In verses 23 to 29, Moses forsook Egypt, led Israel, did the will of the Lord, all in response to the promises of God. Let's read that. 23, it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid of what the king might do. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give him. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king. Moses kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians followed, they were all drowned. Then in verse 30, Israel conquered Jericho because of faith and a promise from God. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. Verse 31, Rahab was saved because of her faith in the Lord's promises. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute did not die with all the others in her city who refused to obey God, for he had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Thousands down through the ages have responded to God's promises with faith, and they have seen him do great and mighty wonders. Well, let's read it. Then we'll talk a little bit. Well, how much more do I need to say, he says. It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others trusted God and were tortured, preferring to die rather than turn from God and be free. They placed their hope in the resurrection to a better life. Some were mocked and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stonings and some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people we have mentioned received God's approval because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had far better things in mind for us that would also benefit them, for they can't receive the prize at the end of the race until we finish the race. So we come down to the thing with all of these facts, everything we've read here in this 11th chapter. What is faith? Faith is the assurance that God will do exactly what He has promised to do. Are you following me? Faith is the assurance that God will do exactly what He has promised to do. Anything based on guesswork, anything based on peace of heart, anything based on wishful thinking will all end in failure. God is a God who responds to a people's faith in Himself and in His promises. Are you following me? You know, faith is not just taking it, well, this is what God is going to. In other words, let's put it this way. If you were to go out of here tonight and climb up on this roof, the top of this building, and you were to say, I am going to jump off of this building and not hit the ground. I believe that this is God's will. I have prayed for it. I have asked Him to hold me up. I believe that God will make me fly. I believe it's His will, so I'm going to leap off this building, and I know that He will make me fly. Before you jump, please let us know what you want us to do with your body. Because you're probably going to die. Many people have become disappointed with God because He didn't do something they told Him to do. We must remember that faith is not a lasso which we throw around God's neck to make Him do our will. It's not some button we push to force God into doing what we want. Lots of people have prayed for things they wanted or thought they needed, and their requests were denied. Many of these people became bitter against God and ceased to follow Him. See, sometimes the things they prayed for were legitimate, like the healing of a relative, a new job, some problem maybe. However, when they forget that they haven't been given a clear promise from God concerning that situation, they many times are in for a disappointment. See, we can pray about anything that we want to. Then we can hope that it will come to pass, but we can only have faith in those things which God has already promised to bring to pass. Is anybody following me? Okay. When I expect God to do as He promised, that's faith. When I expect Him to do as I wish, that's presumption. And a lot of Christians say they're walking in faith and all they are doing is presuming on God to do what they want to do. And it's not a matter that God has not come through because I have enough faith, I believed God, it should have happened. No, faith is believing what God has truly promised. If it's written in His Word and He's made that promise, you can bank on it and have faith that that will come to pass. But if it's just something that isn't written in promise, you can pray for it and hope that God brings this to pass. Because I deal with people all of the time in marriage situations. Whenever I prayed and asked God to change that klutz. And He didn't do it. So now I'm leaving. Oh, wait a minute. It's not a promise that God's going to change him. Anybody following me? And we're blaming God for things He never promised to do. Like people come and say, I don't have a happy marriage and don't I deserve one? Well, no. Quite frankly, you don't. I'm sorry. The Bible never promises that. That's not a promise. I don't find it written where thou shalt have a happy marriage. Now, don't you feel in better company now? Okay. I'm not saying we can't have happy marriages, but are you understanding this thing about faith? We have it all messed up. It's, in other words, it's our prayers of hope versus our prayers of faith. When I pray for my neighbor to be saved, I can have faith in God that He will save him if he will turn to Jesus. However, I can only hope that he will be saved because he may decide not to receive Christ. When I pray for my need to be met, I can believe that it will be met because God has promised to meet it. Several places. How about... Just thought of this one. We didn't put it up there or anything. How about Philippians 4... 19. I picked up the Bible that they made these things so small. Okay. Philippians 4:19 says, and the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. When I pray for a person to be healed, I can hope that it will happen. I know that God has the power to heal, but I don't know if that's His purpose or His will. I do not have His promise in that matter. When I pray for the safety of my children, I can hope that they will be safe, but I cannot have the absolute assurance that they will be safe because I do not have the Lord's word on it. Are you following me? However, when God says it will be a certain way in His Word, then you can count on it being just as He has said. Therefore, anything that is promised in the book can serve as the basis for genuine faith. So what is faith? Faith is simply the deep settled assurance that God will do exactly what He's promised to do. Let's look at the function of faith. What exactly will faith do for you? What exactly will faith do for me? After we're saved, there are certain functions which faith performs in our lives. And I look at these, I cannot help but be encouraged. Number one, faith calms our fears. I am not sheltered from bad things, but in the midst of those bad things, I have His promise. This one you all know, but let's read it anyway. Romans 8, you got it? 28, what does it say? Let me read it out of the New Living. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. How about moving over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and work your way down to verse 57. How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that a great promise? See, now I can have faith in that promise because that's a written promise of God. I can have faith in that. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. I can bank on that, man. And how about, we'll go over to Philippians chapter 4. Here's a promise. Have faith in this promise. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, number one, faith calms our fears. Number two, faith cushions our falls. I am not immune from sin and temptations, but when and if I fall, I have His promise. It is possible for the child of God to fall down. But we can never fall out. Oh, John chapter 10. Let's try this one. What a great promise. I'll go up to verse 25. Jesus replied, I have already told you and you don't believe me. The proof is what I do in the name of my Father. But you don't believe me because you are not part of my flock. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will ever snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and He is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can take them from me. The Father and I are one. If we do fall, we have His word that we will be forgiven when we turn to Him in repentance. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness. Pardon me? Oh, is that what we're all? Oh, maybe we ought to say that again. Some of my translations get messed up, right? Okay. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. So the promise is when we turn to Him, that's the promise, man. There's not a person in this room. See, that's where you can have faith. There is not a person in this room who has done anything at all that if you come to Jesus Christ, He will not forgive you. He will. That's a promise. And you can have faith in that. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've been involved with. I don't care how far you've walked away. If you come to Jesus Christ and confess your sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a promise you can have faith in because it's here in the Word. That was really good preaching. Thirdly, faith confirms our future. I don't know what I will face tomorrow. But I do know this. When all my tomorrows are finished, I have a future secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely assured. I can have faith in that. I don't know how many tomorrows I have. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe 5,000. I don't know. But when those tomorrows are all gone, I have this promise in John 14, beginning with verse 1. Don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. That's a promise. You can have faith in that. That He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. That you will spend eternity with Him. You can have faith in that. You can have faith in the promises of God will be accomplished. Fourthly, faith claims God's finest. Faith doesn't gorge itself on the slop of the world. It sets its sights higher than that. Faith believes that God will be true to His Word, and their faith responds to that Word, acts upon that Word, and receives the fulfillment of that Word. Romans chapter 4. Why didn't you get all these down? Phil, why didn't you get these? Because I didn't give them to you. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 21. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything He promised. Isn't that great? How about, go over to where we're supposed to be in Hebrews. Go back there, okay? And go to chapter 6. And look at verse 18. So God has given us both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can take new courage, for we can hold on to His promise with confidence. This confidence is like a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain of heaven into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the line of Melchizedek. Isn't that wonderful? See, those are promises. I can get excited, man. Those are promises that you can have faith. And your faith will take you to the fulfillment of these promises. There are many who never learn what God can do because they never are willing to believe that God can do it. And next, faith challenges our failures. What I mean by that is faith believes, for instance, we've read it already, but over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, faith believes this verse. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith says that we can be all that God wants us to be. Faith accepts the notion that we do not have to settle for second best. Faith says that we can have everything that God has for us and that we can have it now. Faith says we don't have to live to the lower standard of the world. Faith just takes God at His word and serves Him. And lastly, faith calls our friends. Faith says to those around us that what God has done here, He can do in their life too. Faith reaches out to those in sin. Because faith knows that everyone who turns to Jesus for salvation will be saved. Faith believes God's promises concerning salvation by faith. And because faith believes that, faith reaches out to everyone around them. Because I really believe that I have eternal life. I really believe that I'm saved by faith. And because my faith believes that, and I have the promise to back that up, then I reach out to those around me. Well, what have I said tonight? I don't know. I hope you took notes. God's will is that we live by faith. Not the blind leap of the foolish. Not the blank check of the misinformed. But the deep, settled assurance that what God has said He would do. And He's more willing than able, and He's willing to do it. Now my question is simply, does that describe your life? Is that the life of faith? Are you really trusting God and His promises? See, I mentioned a lot of things that we can pray for, and we need to pray for those. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for those things. And then have hope that God is going to do that. But the promises that we stand on, the faith that we have, it's not just blind faith that, well, if I go here, God will meet my needs. I had a guy that ended up on my doorstep one day and a few years ago, and one that just sleep in our house for a while. He was a guy in the church. And a young guy. And I said, why do you need to stay with us? He says, well, bro, I'm living by faith. And I said, yeah, mine. Not yours. Okay? And you're not going to live by my faith. You got to live by your own faith. Are you following me? See, his faith was, if he didn't work, somebody else got to take care of it. Well, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. All right? See, faith is in the promises of God. Well, hope I've made that clear enough for you tonight. Can I give you a new understanding of what faith is? You know, that it's to have an assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. It's not an assurance that whatever you think you want is going to come to pass. That's not faith. Faith is an assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. See, because just like Paul, we talked about it this morning, God had promised he would go to Rome and preach the gospel. He promised that. Back in chapter 23, about verse 11, he stood there with Paul, and Paul was in prison. He said to him, just as you have been a witness of me in Jerusalem and in Caesarea, so shall you be a witness of me in Rome. How did he get to Rome? Under arrest. He got there. He had faith in the promises of God, but it wasn't necessarily what he thought it was supposed to be. And if we can have that kind of walk with God, man, then I'm going to take steps. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk according to your word. But God, wherever you lead, wherever I end up, thank you, Jesus. That's okay. Because you know what's best. Well, let's stand. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for so simply sharing with us the truth and reality of what it means to walk with you. The assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But Lord, it's not just a blind faith in what we want, it's a solid faith in what you have promised. So we talked about protecting our children. The faith is, you've promised if we'd raise our children the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from that. That's your promise. And we can have faith in that and believe that and know it'll come to fruition. No matter what happens in the meantime, Lord, your promise will be fulfilled. We thank you for that, Lord. So teach us how to walk according to your promises, not according to just our feelings or what we want or desire, what we feel our needs are. Let us be men and women of faith, solidly standing upon every promise that you have given us, not doubting or wavering, because your promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Yes, and so be it, every promise, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thanks for encouraging us tonight, Lord. You're an awesome God. We so need to be encouraged to trust in you. Thank you for doing that. Let's just continue to worship for a bit. Let God deal in your heart. Let him bring the healing and the wholeness. If you're in pain tonight for any reason, emotionally, physically, let God take that, man. Let God take the hurts, maybe the disappointments. Maybe you were trusting something, thought it was faith, and now you realize that that wasn't God's promise. That was just my hopes. That's just what I wanted. I thought God promised me that, but I don't have the written word on it. I don't have the promise of your word. So God, forgive me. Let him deal in your heart a little bit as we continue to worship with you.